Disclaimer, this is mature content which will have explicit language. The violence is very descriptive. Listener discretion is advised. With that said, enjoy the listen. In 2039, the Triple C's and the Rolling 30s have their most deadly encounter yet. The sound of gunfire fills the air with the screams of the injured and dying. While the fighting pursues, Marvin, Aaron, and Sebastian escape the fight with bags full of C-10. As they escape, police sirens fill the background. God damn, they're early. Sebastian states, "They gonna catch us. We need a quicker way out of here," Marvin yells over the sirens. "Over here," Aaron yells as he breaks the mechanical seal on a manhole. Aaron and Sebastian climb down the hole, while Marvin stands contemplating his decision, while looking in the direction of the sirens. "Marvin, bring your ass," Sebastian yells. Marvin wakes up out of his trance and climbs down the manhole. When Marvin gets to the bottom, Sebastian taps him on the head and says, "Get your head out the clouds." Sebastian turns and runs off. Just as Aaron was about to run, he catches Marvin standing, looking up at the manhole. Aaron walks over to Marvin and asks, "The fuck you doing?" "I can't." "You out of all people should know. This ain't for me," Marvin responds. Aaron sighs and asks, "You sure you want to do this?" "Very," Marvin responds. Aaron hugs Marvin and says, "I'm gonna miss you, brother. I'm gonna miss you too. But before you go, could you?" Marvin says, as he points to his cheek. Aaron replies, "Sure," and proceeds to punch him as hard as he can. As Marvin gets back up, Aaron says, "All right, have a good life with it." On December 10th, 2020, 2.3 million people are incarcerated. In 2025, a new drug called C-10 is introduced to the streets. As people move to purchase the new drug, America moves to handle the new crisis. 3 million people were incarcerated. In 2030, America develops its technology, and as technology evolved, crime did also. Gangs popped up all over the country to distribute the C-10. Eventually, two of the biggest gangs, the Triple C's and the Rolling 30s, started a war for the streets. 5 men from both sides were arrested. 2050, America finds a new planet and calls it Yukishima. They explore it with the probe the same year. In 2055, America's prison population is over capacity. The American government decides to create a prison on the new found planet, Yukishima. In 2058, Marvin Williams is enjoying his time with his daughter, Alicia, while fixing a computer. Outside of the house, on the porch, Tiana opens the mailbox. "Bills on top of bills," Tiana says to herself. Tiana unlocks the door and walks in the house. Marvin gets up from the desk and grabs her baby off the couch and walks over to Tiana and kisses her. Tiana takes the baby and walks into the kitchen. "How was your day?" Tiana asks. "It was alright. Finally got that damn computer running," Marvin says. Tiana puts Alicia in her high chair. "So, how much you gonna make off of this one?" Tiana asks. "About 100 credits," Marvin replies. Tiana sits down with some baby food and says, "Speaking of making money, how's your job search going?" "Not so good," Marvin replies. Tiana pulls out the bills and lays them on the table. She puts her hands over her face in frustration. "Have you even been trying?" Tiana asks. "Of course I have. You know how hard it is being a felon." "But guess whose fault that is?" Tiana says. "Look, I know I fucked up, but you took me back, and I'm trying," Marvin says. "Well, I need you to try harder." Alicia starts crying. Marvin picks up the baby, and Sienna walks into the bedroom. Marvin follows. Look, I'm sorry. I know you're trying, but I just can't do it by myself. Sienna says as she starts sniffling. Marvin kisses her and says, you don't have to. I promise I'm gonna make things better. Now take a rest. You've had a long day. The next day, a white limo with 30s on the license plates and tires pulls up in front of Marvin's house. At the side of the car, everyone in the neighborhood goes back in their houses and closes their blinds. Two men in black step out of the car. The driver goes to the back of the limo and opens up the door so a bald black man with a white suit can get out. Meanwhile, in the house, Marvin and Alicia sleep in the bed when a loud knock begins at the door. Tiana rolls over in bed and says, hey, can you get that before it wakes the baby? Yes, my love. Marvin responds as he reluctantly rolls out of bed and puts on only his pants. As the knocks get louder, Marvin yells, okay, okay, I'm here. He opens the door and to see the bald black man, Aaron, the leader of the Rolling 30s. The only thing separating them, the screen door. What the fuck are you doing here? Marvin asks as he opens up the door and steps out. Marvin, we're still friends. Only when you need some, Marvin says. You might be right, Aaron replies. Yeah, I'm not interested in going to prison again, Marvin says. You haven't even heard what I'm proposing. Aaron says, you know damn well I can't do that to them again. Just as Marvin turns to go back inside, Aaron says, I know being a villain isn't fun, but because you're an old friend and you have talent, I'm offering 1,000 credits. Marvin puts his hands on the door knob and says, no. Okay, 100,000 credits. Alright, I'll give you 100,000 credits. Aaron says, trying to bargain. Marvin turns around and says, no. You know, Tiana's a hard-working woman. You know she's gonna leave me in the dust one day. Do you even have a job? Aaron says. Marvin turns around and points to the chairs on the porch and says, sit. Aaron smiles and says, so this is how you conduct business? Without a shirt? You wanted me, now you got me. Talk. Marvin says, well, I got this bird in the Triple C's who tells me that their leader, Colossus, is making a deal to ship out 20 pounds of C-10, Aaron explains. Wow, that's gonna make him filthy fucking rich. Marvin starts and Aaron finishes. So what you need me for? Marvin asks. I don't know where he's shipping, and since everything's digital now, he has a location on a master drive, Aaron explains. So where is this master drive? Marvin asks. In Colossus's house, in his basement, Aaron explains further. You gotta be fucking kidding me. By myself? Marvin says. No, no. I'll be there. I'm having peace talks with this asshole. With air quotations. But you don't plan on having peace, Marvin says. You're damn right. This bitch done killed too many of our brothers and sisters, Aaron says. Can't argue with you on that. But what about my girl and my kid, Marvin says. I'll give you 2 days. Tell them you found a new employer or some shit. Fine, Marvin says, as he puts his hand out. Aaron shakes Marvin's hand. Good. Be ready Wednesday, 1:30 a.m. I'll be outside. Don't be late, Aaron says. Alright, Marvin says. Aaron leaves to go to his car, and as Aaron leaves, Marvin goes back in the house and goes to his room. He sits down on the bed and he looks down at Tiana and his daughter with a shameful look. Then he looks to the ceiling and says, God, please let this work out. On Wednesday morning, Marvin leaves a note for Tiana and Alicia and leaves for the airport. Marvin gets inside the limo and looks around. You really live it up, haven't you? Marvin says. Well, this could have been you too, if you hadn't given yourself up. Aaron says. Just as Marvin's about to speak, Aaron says, I know Tiana comes first. I respect it. I'm not saying you did anything wrong. Aaron says. Interrupting, Marvin says, so, where does nigga live anyway? Atlanta, Georgia. By the way, you ain't gonna be taking the same plane as me. When I land, security will be up my ass 24/7. Aaron explains. Yeah, that makes sense, Marvin says. Back at Marvin's house, Tiana rolls over, only to find Marvin isn't there. She quickly comes to her senses and turns on the lamp and checks on the baby. She sighs with relief knowing that the baby's okay. She then looks around the house for Marvin. Starting to panic, she starts to text him. Then a piece of paper on her nightstand catches her eye. She picks it up and unfolds it, and it reads, sorry, babe, for the last minute notice. I'm going out of town for a few days. I found a man at a tech company who is willing to give me a chance. I love you. Kiss the baby for me. Talk to you when I can. Tiana holds the note up against her chest while a tear rolls down her cheek. Meanwhile, at the airport, before Aaron and Marvin part ways, Aaron hands Marvin a communicator and tells him, let me know if anything goes wrong. Of course, Marvin says. Hours later after landing, Marvin checks into a hotel. Outside of his room, Marvin reads, clap to turn on lights, on a digital sign. Marvin walks into the room and claps his hands. After getting settled in, Marvin grabs his phone and calls Tiana. After picking up, Tiana says, hey, happily. What you doing? Nothing, feeding our child, Tiana responds. Speaking of that, let me see my baby girl, Marvin says. Tiana flips her phone to the front camera and focuses it on Alicia. Hey, how you doing? Marvin says. Upon seeing Marvin, Alicia smiles and claps her hands with joy. I love you. I'll bring you something back, Marvin says to Alicia. Tiana turns the camera back around and with a smile asks, so who you working for, mister? No one. Don't worry about me, ma'am. Marvin replies with a smile on his face. Who the hell do you think you talking to, little man? Tiana replies flirtatiously. Oh, I went from mister to little man that quick, huh? Marvin says. Right. Marvin chuckles and says, nah, but I work for DevTech as an information research scientist, Marvin explains. Well, I just gotta say, I'm so proud of you for beating the odds and getting done what you needed to get done, Tiana says. Marvin smiles a little bit and says, thanks, babe, but I gotta get up in the morning. Marvin says, okay, babe, I love you. I'm so proud of you, Tiana replies. I love you too. Good night, Marvin says. When the phone hangs up, Marvin falls back on the bed with the phone in his right hand. Marvin puts the phone to his face and looks at the lock screen on his background and sees his family. He turns off his phone and lays his head back on the bed and lets out a sigh of guilt. The next day, Aaron is riding on the freeway in his limo. Aaron pulls out a second phone from under the floorboard. He then knocks on the window. One of his drivers slides open the window. "Yes, boss," the driver says. "Tell Troy to hand me the suitcase," Aaron says. Troy puts the suitcase through the window. He opens the suitcase and plugs the phone up to the device in the suitcase. Aaron looks at the device and it reads, "Scanning." A few seconds later, the device reads, "Line secured." Aaron then opens the message and sees nobody's responded to him. At the hotel, Marvin is getting dressed when his phone rings with an unknown caller ID. Marvin answers the phone and puts it on speaker. "What's up?" And Marvin says, "Where you at?" Aaron asks. "At the hotel. Why?" "Just to tell you, you need to be outside at 10:30 p.m. There's going to be a car," Aaron explains. "All right," Marvin responds. "Oh, fuck," Aaron says, frustrated under his breath. "What's wrong?" Marvin asks. "My little fucking bird won't respond to me," Aaron says. "Do we still need to be doing this?" Marvin asks, concerned. "Yes, we do." "Are you sure?" Marvin asks. "Yes, I'm fucking sure." "Have you even done this before?" Marvin asks. "No, not exactly, but we got this." "All right, I'm trusting you," Marvin says. "Bro, when have I ever let you down?" Aaron responds. "I guess I'll see you tonight," Marvin says. Sitting 5 blocks away, Marvin goes over all of his equipment. Troy looks down at Marvin's tactical pistols and grabs one. Troy turns on the laser and points it at Marvin. Marvin reacts and forces the gun to the roof. "The fuck you doing?" Marvin yells. Troy lets go of the gun and laughs. "Chill, bro. I was just playing," Troy explains. "This shit ain't nothing to play about," Marvin says. "You even gonna use them things?" Troy asks as Marvin puts the pistols up. "No, I ain't finna kill nobody," Marvin says. "So what if a nigga try to blow your brains out?" Troy asks. "I'll find another way." "Damn, you settle down and revert. The only thing you missing is church," Troy says, criticizing Marvin. "Had to, so I could settle down," Marvin says. "And look at you. Right back here," Troy says. "Things will get better," Marvin says as he looks at his watch and sees it's 12 a.m. "All right, let's go in." Troy turns on the car and drives closer to the house. Inside, Aaron and Colossus have lobster together. They awkwardly sit across from each other, with Aaron sitting stone-faced, staring at Colossus as he eats his meal like it was his last. Colossus notices Aaron staring and says, "Your food's getting cold," while wiping his mouth. "He ain't that hungry," Aaron replies. "Come on now, I invite you over and cook the food myself and you not finna eat?" Colossus says. Aaron takes a deep breath, trying not to let his hate and disdain for this man get the better of him. Aaron says, calmly as he can, "I'll take it to go, but can we please get to the talks?" Meanwhile, Troy and Marvin try to find a way onto Colossus's property. They sit in the bushes with night vision binoculars, looking at all the cameras surveying the property. "How the hell are we going to get into there?" Troy asks. "It's possible," Marvin says. "How?" Troy asks once again. "Look at the cameras. They all facing outwards," Marvin explains. "So what that mean?" Troy asks. "God damn, you ask a lot of questions. It means we can use the drone to record the scanning patterns and replace the camera footage with the drone footage," Marvin explains. "Damn, you really are smart," Troy says, impressed with Marvin. Marvin then turns on the drone and does exactly what he said he was going to do. After Marvin replaces the camera footage, he then nods to Troy. They then jump the fence together. Marvin stops to look around. Then Marvin hands his equipment to Troy. "Watch my bag," Marvin says, as he feels the ground for soft soil. He feels a soft spot in the grass and grabs a handful to be sure. "Okay," Marvin whispers under his breath. He turns around and starts pulling two poles out and puts them together. "Hurry up. I don't feel good standing out in the open," Troy says. "Me too. But you a gangster, right?" Marvin asks Troy with a smile. Troy then looks back at Marvin with an annoyed face. Inside the house, Colossus talks with Aaron about a truce. Colossus puts down his eating utensils and says, "So tell me how you feel." "About?" Aaron responds. "This whole thing. About the people who died and suffered because of this beef we got going on," Colossus explains. "I don't feel anything for anyone but my people. People you took from me," Aaron states. Feeling a little offended by Aaron's statement, Colossus says, "Well, that's not fair. I didn't start this war." Aaron rolls up his sleeves to reveal tattoos of names starting from his shoulders to his wrists. Aaron points at a name on his right shoulder and starts listing off names: Kim, Jamichael, Grayson, Tim, Zuri, Boonch, Trey, and many more people who were close to me. "Your people did that." Speechless and feeling guilty, Colossus says, "You're right. I take full responsibility." In Colossus's backyard, Marvin finishes putting his equipment together and sticks it in the ground. The device scans below the ground and reveals a basement. Looking at the mapped out basement on his arm, Marvin tells Troy, "Found it." "Where's the door, though?" Troy asks. Marvin swipes his finger on the screen, revealing a tunnel and an entrance. They get to the entrance and open it. They look down into the dark abyss that the tunnel casts. "You first," Troy tells Marvin. Marvin shakes his head and says, "Pussy." He then begins climbing down the ladder. When Marvin gets to the bottom, he turns on his flashlight and yells up to Troy, "Clear!" Troy joins him at the bottom, and they walk down the tunnel. As they walk down the tunnel, Troy asks, "Besides your old lady, why you turn your back on your partners?" "I ain't turn my back on anyone." Aaron just did what a real nigga's supposed to do for the first time, since getting all that power. "But I don't want to talk about the other reason," Marvin explains. They get to the master drives. "Damn, it smells like a dead body in this bitch," Troy states. "I know," Marvin says, holding his nose. "How are we gonna find which one get the location?" Troy asks. "It shouldn't matter. I should get the same information from one," Marvin explains as Troy goes looking around. "Marvin!" Troy yells. "What, gangster?" Marvin yells back as he walks over to him, only to be shocked to find the source of the smell. They find a man with dreads nailed to a wall by his shoulders with his throat cut. "So, what did Aaron's bird look like again?" Marvin asks Troy. "I don't know," Troy responds. Upstairs, in Colossus's house, the peace talks continue. "The reason that I called you here for a peace talk is because my nephew died. And when I looked at my boys' faces at the funeral, I came to a realization." "And what you realize?" Aaron asked in a bored tone. "I looked at their faces and realized that they're tired of going to funerals and watching their friends die. So I want to work things out between us, Colossus says. Aaron's bracelet buzzes. Aaron looks at Colossus and asks, excuse me, where's your bathroom? Colossus snaps his fingers, and two of his guards come to his side. Show my guest to the washroom, Colossus orders. They get to the bathroom, and Aaron says, excuse me, gentlemen. He quickly goes into the bathroom and presses two buttons on his bracelet and asks, what's going on? Oh, what your bird look like? Marvin asks. Dark skin, short dreads, why? Aaron asks. Cause me and Troy looking at someone with similar looks, and he's on the wall, Marvin explains. Worried, Aaron says, you need to make sure it's him. He has an official Rolling 30s tat on his chest. Aaron explains. Wait, you want me to touch him? Marvin asks. Well, duh, motherfucker. Aaron says, but he's dead. Marvin says, making excuses not to touch the body. You've killed niggas before. What difference does this make? Aaron asks. Yeah, I killed motherfuckers. But I ain't touch him afterwards, Marvin explains. God damn it, just do it! Aaron says, losing his patience. Aight, chill out, Marvin says. Marvin walks closer to the body, and unbeknownst to him, he steps over a security laser. Holding in his disgust, Marvin raises up the white t-shirt on the body as his tension gets stronger. So what's it looking like? Troy asks. He has the tat, Marvin says to Troy and Aaron. You two need to get out of there, Aaron says, calmly as possible. Marvin backs up and backs into the security laser. Troy looks down and grabs Marvin and says, let's go. In the dining room, while waiting on Aaron, Colossus's phone buzzes. He opens the notification. On his phone, he sees Troy and Marvin running on the security cameras. Aaron exits the bathroom and nervously looks at both of the guards. Something wrong? One of the guards asks. Nah, Aaron responds. They escort him back to the dining room. Meanwhile, Troy and Marvin try to escape the basement. While running down the tunnel, they meet Triple C goons. Shit, Marvin yells before getting hit with the butt of the gun and being knocked unconscious. In the dining room, Aaron walks in and sits back down. So, where were we? Aaron asks, nervously. Colossus shakes his head and says, detain him. The guards pin Aaron down to the table. I try and help you, and you disrespect me like this? Colossus yells with anger. Should we kill him, boss? One of the guards asks, no. Even though you did me wrong, I'm serious about peace. Call the police. Let them handle this shit, Colossus says. Hours later, Marvin wakes up in the back of a car. He groans in pain as a scar on his cheek from the butt of the gun stings him, while flashing red and blue lights fills the car. Marvin quickly realizes what's going on and looks outside of the car and makes eye contact with Aaron. Marvin tries to use his hands, but he can't because of the handcuffs restraining him. As the realization sinks deeper and deeper into his mind, his heart races as images of Tiana and his daughter fill his head.